Brother Bert says, please try it and see. Well, in our absence of our pastor, he has asked Brother Scotty Drake from Helps Ministry to bring the message this morning. And he's always such a blessing, so it's good to have him. Brother Drake, come preach to us.
All right. God bless you, Pastor. All right. But Pastor asked me to come and preach this morning. He said this is the Mission Conference month, November. And he said, I want you to come and preach. I said, well, I'm supposed to preach on next Sunday night. And he said, no, I want you to preach this Sunday morning. So I said, okay, we'll do it. And so here we are. I kind of feel like the old preacher that little boy came up to him, handed him two quarters. And preacher looked at him and said, son, I don't need these two quarters. You keep them. They're yours. He said, no, preacher, I want you to have them. He said, well, why do you want me to have them? He said, my daddy says you're the poorest preacher he ever knows. So I want you to have these two quarters. And I kind of feel like that this morning. But God bless you. It's good to be here. And we've been able to be here in the pulpit many times. And we just thank God for Landmark Baptist Church, what it's meant to us. I appreciate all the prayers that you've given to me. God is blessed. And I want you to know he's the great healer. The hospitals, the doctors, they can do so much. But when it comes to healing, it's God. God is the one. And I'm here to testify to that. And I thank you all for your prayers. God bless each and every one of you. I want you to take, please, if you will, we'll go to the book of Romans, chapter number 14. Chapter number 14 of the book of Romans. And start reading with verse number 7. Chapter 14, verse number 7. For none of us live unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For do this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all appear. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice that. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us, look at it, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 17, the Bible says it, once to die, and after that the judgment. Once to die, and after that the judgment. The first part of this Romans 14, it was the Jews and the Gentiles in their church, and they were having a problem. Must have been a Baptist church. They were going back and forth. They were going back and forth over the meats and over the days. And we find out that the Jews, they had their certain meats, and the Gentiles, they had their way. And there was a little bickering going back and forth over that. And not only that, the days. The Jews, they were young Christians, and they were still looking at the special days as Pentecost, the new moons, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the Gentiles, on the other hand, they just took those days as every other days. And so there was a little conflict going on. And then Paul goes ahead, and here he goes ahead and he tells them, hey, you know, quit judging each other. Don't worry about what the other one thinks. Judge yourself. And that's what he's doing here. And so we come to this place, and then we take these scriptures here in verse number 10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God in verse number 12. So I want you to know this. Let's start out with this. Our sins have been forgiven. When we get to heaven, we'll not answer for our sins. And brother, I thank God for that. I praise the Lord that he took my place on Calvary. I'm the one that should have been there. You're the one that should have been there. We're the sinners. He's sinless. He took my place. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and he died in my place. And not only that, he shed his blood and put them into the depths of the sea, which some of them say is 6 miles deep. And then he put them as far as the east is from the west. So we're not going to be judged for that. But the Bible right here tells us we're going to give an account unto God. Each and every one of us are. We're going to stand before the throne of God, and one day we're going to give an account of our life. And we read that in the book of Romans here. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2,000 years ago, they scoffed at his coming. They laughed. They said, oh, wait a minute, he's hadn't come. And we go right today. And right up today, people say, well, it's been over 2,000 years and he hadn't come, but he's coming. And I believe right now, I believe with all of my heart that what we're seeing going on today is a fact that he's coming soon. And we better get busy. We better do the best we can to get people saved while we can, because I believe Jesus is coming soon. And I believe there's going to be much affliction. I believe the Bible teaches that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And brother, I don't see how it can get much worse than this. When we got people in high places that are criticizing God's chosen people, we're in trouble. Brother, I want them blessed. I want to meet the Lord and say, I want them blessed. And he says, hey, you bless them, I'll bless you. You curse them, I'll curse you. And one day God is going to judge them. I'm not judging them, but God's going to judge them. Listen to me, friend of mine. Today, they still attack Christianity. The Word of God tells us he's coming again. The Word of God tells us over and over and over, Jesus is coming. The disciples all declared that he was coming. John, the Revelator, said, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we go to Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he talks about the coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The angels said he will come in Acts chapter number 1. They said, as you see him go, he'll come back. He's coming, folks. He's coming. And I want you to know we're going to meet him. We're going to meet him, and we're going to get caught up in the air, but we're going to give an account. We're going to stand before God and give an account to God about all of these things. Jesus said, I will come again. He said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming. He's coming. And I want you to know our job is to look. Don't be as a thief in the night. Don't wait and be as a thief in the night. No, he said, watch, watch. Everyone is to watch. We're to look. We're to wait for his coming. If he were to come right today, every prophecy in the Old Testament has been fulfilled. But I believe, friend of mine, that there's going to be times that there's going on and on and on for a few more days, a few more weeks maybe, but there's judgment going to come to America. It's coming all over the world. Can you imagine all these riots that are going on? They're going on against Israel. Can you stand? Can you believe that these people get out there and riot, mobs of them rioting against Israel when Hamas was the one that took our little babies, that took the little babies and cut their heads off and raped the women and cut them open and took their babies out of them? Oh, listen to me, friend of mine. They're a nasty bunch of people over there. But I want you to know something, friend. I'm for Israel. I pray every night. I say, God, help every soldier to step in the right place. Help them to step in the right place, because I'm sure they've got explosives waiting for them to go off when they touch. But listen, God's people. And brother, listen, he's watching over them too. He's going to take care of them. He's going to take care of them. He always will. But I want you to know something. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. Jesus said, I will come again. Now you go back to verse 14, chapter 14, and he says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Every one of us. Every one of us will stand before him. Now what about this judgment seat? As I said earlier, thank God I'm not going to have to answer for my sin. Brother, listen, when I was a young man, I was loaded with sin, and I've been loaded with sin. Hey, listen, we've got that Adamic nature. That Adamic nature is with you every day of your life. And you've got to be careful. He that's within us is greater than he that's out. But you have that nature that, brother, we were born in sin. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, like this man was singing a while ago. It's through the blood, Jesus, the blood of Jesus that takes our sin and puts them as far as the east is from the west. But the judgment seat of Christ should make you and I loyal. Want to be loyal? Are you listening to me? Be loyal. Loyal to your church. Did you know before the pandemic, they say that 85% of our churches in North America were on decline. They were going down. All of them. I mean, before the pandemic. That ought to shake you up. And I believe it. I've been preaching now all over. I've been preaching. And you know what I found? I found that churches that used to, when I was 30, 35 years ago, they were full. But now then there's a handful of people. The churches are declining, friend of mine. Oh, God help us to realize this. The churches, they say this, that the people that stayed out during the pandemic, listen to me, the people that stayed home out of the pandemic, one third of them will never go back to church. They will never go back to church. They get used to drinking their coffee in their living room, in their pajamas, watching it on TV, and they will not come back to church. I've had preacher after preacher after preacher tell me, say, preacher, many, many people, they quit coming during the pandemic, and they don't come back. They don't come back. And we know it right here at Landmark Baptist Church. But loyal not only, friend of mine, to the church, but loyal to the Word of God. This book right here, friend of mine, that's live. This book says alive. No man can conquer this book. It's alive. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. It's got everything you need in it. Everything. It's got prose. It's got poetry. It's got everything in it. Oh, listen to me, that we're loyal. We got a man by the name of Johnson that became Speaker of the House here the other day. And Mr. Johnson, I understand he's a good Christian man. And they go around and people have started talking. They say, yeah, he holds his religion on his shoulder. Well, praise God. Praise God. And this Psaki woman of CNN, she said, he's the most dangerous man in the world. He's one of those conservative, Bible-believing Christians. Oh, praise God, brother. She's the one that's got the problem. Brother, unless she gets herself saved, she's going to burn in hell for making statements like that. But praise God for him. They asked him, they said, hey, what is your vision of the world? He said, get your Bible off the shelf and read your Bible. That's the vision of my world. Thank God for a man like that. I'm glad we've got somebody like that instead of people like Pelosi and Schumer and all that bunch. God help us. Oh, the Word of God, be loyal to it. Loyal to telling others about Jesus Christ. Listen, did you know that today they say the biggest Christian movement that's going on today is in Iran. I began to ask people about it. I heard it twice. I heard it on a secular program. It wasn't a Christian program. But they said the greatest Christian movement going on today is in Iran. I began to ask. I began to talk around. I began to ask around it. And I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, yes. He said, what happens is some of these Muslims are getting sick and tired of fighting all the time, and they're becoming atheists. And then when they hear the Word of God, whether it be over a radio or whether it be some underground work, then they get saved. They get saved, and the biggest Christian movement is in Iran today. Can you believe it? Here we talk about Iran. Hey, praise God, people are getting saved in Iran. But not only that, China, they say that within the next few years right now there'll be more born-again Christians in China than there is the population of the United States of America. People getting saved. And yet, friend of mine, listen to me. America is going down deep, deep, deep. It's going down. Oh, how it's been going slowly down for years. But all at once, with this bunch in there now, it's taking a dive. And I believe, friend of mine, to whom much is given, much is required. And I believe America, God made it the most powerful, the most prosperous nation in all the world. And brother, I want you to know something. We're going to pay. We're going to pay. We've got to keep going. Landmark, we've got to keep going. We've got to keep coming. We've got to keep going and doing our best to serve the Lord and get people saved. Loyal to telling others. Loyal to giving, this matter of giving. Are you a tither? Is everybody tithing? Listen, if you're not a tither, you're a God robber. Everybody ought to be a tither. What about the faith promise card? Have you got that little card out of that car, out of the pew yet? Have you got it out? Every person that's a member of this church ought to take that card and you ought to fill something out. You say, preacher, I can't afford it. Hey, wait a minute. You can afford it. When God puts something on your heart, brother, I guarantee you, if the Lord gives us another year, you will be here and you will have the same type of clothes on. You will weigh about the same. I don't know about that now. Looks like to me some people are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Hey, that's unhealthy. I've lost 50 pounds when I had that problem, and I can't gain it back. But that's all right. My blood counts are coming good. So, hey, I'm Barbara said quit worrying about it. So she's not feeding me too good. Oh, listen to me, friend of mine. Hey, this matter of giving and your tithes and your offerings. Now listen to me, missions. I can still hear Lee Robertson to this day pointing his finger in my chest and looking at me over a dinner. And he was saying, Scotty, missions is the greatest work in all the world. Can you believe it? It is. Greatest work in all the world. People getting saved. It's the greatest gift that's ever been given. There's no gift like eternal life. No gift. No gift at all like eternal life. Can you believe it? And let me tell you this. There's no gift like the ministry. The ministry. Oh, I love the ministry. Oh, I've been times when I was young that I got stiff-necked and I began to try to back away. No. You can't do it. If God calls you, you can't do it. People that quit, they weren't called. God calls you, brother. He don't reverse that call. Oh, listen to me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I was reading almost 8 billion people in the world today, and over half of the world has never heard the name of Jesus. Yet we've got almost 8 billion people in the world that's never heard his name. God help us. I heard a preacher talking about a young lady and this young man. They were in high school and they were inseparable. They were always together. They loved each other. And came time to graduate. And the girl went to a Christian school and he went to a secular college. And they went on, they wrote each other, they kept in touch with each other all the time. And whenever the days were off, they would come and meet each other. And they just were in love. They knew that they were in love with each other. And so one day she wrote, she would write, they would write, and he would write, and they would answer each other's letter. One day she wrote, but he didn't write back. And she wondered, well, I wonder what's wrong. And she waited and she waited and she waited, never got a letter from him. Never did. And all at once she began to think, well, I guess he's found a girl friend at the college he's in. And so she went ahead and she became a missionary in Africa. And she was a missionary in Africa. There she was, 29 years, never got married. Never got married, but there she was helping and teaching and leading young Africans to the Lord. And one day, 29 years after she had been there, she got a letter from her mother. Her mother wrote her regularly, but there was an envelope in the letter. And she opened the envelope, and it was from her ex-boyfriend. And she pulled out the letter, and come to find out, the letter had been lost in the mail for 29 years. She opened up the letter, and in the letter, he proposed to her. Said, I want to marry you. As soon as we get out of college, I want to get married. She began to weep. She began to cry. And all at once she looked out the door and she saw the little Africans that she had led to the Lord. She saw the grown-up Africans that she had led to the Lord. 29 years she had been there leading Africans to the Lord. And she thought, you know, had I got that letter 29 years ago, they would have probably gone to hell. Friend, let me tell you something. This matter of getting saved is the most important thing in the world. It's the greatest gift that God's ever given, that I've given you eternal life, and ye shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Oh, listen to me. John Astor, one of the richest men in the world, died in 1848. His estate was passed down until it hit John Astor IV. John Astor IV was 48 years old, and he would tell his best friends, I can buy anything I want, but I'm one of the most miserable men in the world. He went down with the Titanic at age 48 in April the 4th, 1912. Miserable old man. He could buy anything he wanted, but yet, friend, miserable. Let me tell you, it's not wrong to have something. It's not wrong to have money. I believe the book of Ecclesiastes tells you if you got it on us, you should enjoy it. But you should enjoy it for the Lord. A miserable man, but the judgment seat should keep me looking. It's easy to slow down. Easy to slow down. I had a deacon one time come to me, and he said, I'm resigning. Barbara remembers it. She was in the living room when he did. Years ago, I was a young preacher, pretty much a smart aleck preacher. My daughter, she's at church right now, but she sent me a text this morning, Daddy, be nice. Everywhere she goes with me, she says, Daddy, please be nice, please be nice. So back then, I wasn't so nice, I guess. And he looked at me and he said, well, he said, I guess I've done my time. And I looked at him and I said, well, you act like you've been in prison. I've done my time. Maybe there's some of you today that you've been serving the Lord and you feel like you've done your time. What do you think you are, in prison? We're in church. We're serving the Lord. We ought to give our hearts and dedicate it to the Lord. Oh, listen to me. It's easy for Satan to trip us. Oh, how he can trip us. I was called to preach with four others. None of them made it. I was probably about 17 years old when I made it openly that God had called me to preach. I'm sad to say that I wasted many years as a young man. I've been almost at 60 years now, but as a young man, I wasted some precious years. But I want you to know, out of the four that came down the aisle with me to preach, they were about my age, none of them made it. And I'm sure the church was sitting back there saying, boy, they'll make it, but that Scotty won't. He's too mean. Oh, listen to me. Praise God, brother. I believe if God calls you, you can't do anything else. I'd rather be a preacher than a president any day, especially like the one we have. Amen, amen, and amen. I hope he's listening. Oh, it's easy for Satan to trip you up. I was talking to a preacher about 3 weeks ago, and I was asking about a church just a few miles from him, and he says, they're about to close. I said, what? They were going good. He says, yes, they built a $2 million building. And I said, well, what happened? He said, the preacher just all at once resigned. He got up and resigned, and he left. As far as I know, he's working in a lumber yard. I said, you've got to be kidding. He's been preaching and preaching and preaching almost since I've been here. I've been here over 20 years. Oh, listen to me, friend of mine. If you preach, if God's called you to preach, I don't understand how a man can't do it. The most miserable man that I've ever been in my life was when I tried to quit, and I couldn't. God wouldn't let me. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, listen, I want you to know, if you're a member of this church, you're a missionary, or you're sending somebody to the field. That makes you important. That makes you want to reach over and grab that card and fill it out so the preacher can know how many more he can put onto the mission board. God help us. How can we be so lazy that we can't reach over and grab that card and fill it out? You don't have to put your name on it. You say, well, God hadn't spoke to my heart. Well, why don't you just try it? Give $5 a week and try it out and see. I guarantee you, if you do it, you'll be just like you are today. You'll have a car. You'll have a roof over your head. You'll have clothes on your back. And I can tell that you had food to eat the whole year. Oh, listen to me. God knows. God knows. It's easy to stop. It's easy to throw up your hands. On Fox News, I heard this, that there's less people going to church than in the history of America. 53, they polled recently. This was a recent poll. A recent poll taken said that 53% of the people in America do not have any religion. 53%. 47% say they do. That's counting your cults and Mormons and everything else. Now, Cindy, I'm being nice. Oh, listen to me. 53. Can you believe it? The first time ever in the history of America. More people. Can you believe it? Have no religion. I'd hate to be that way. I'd hate to think I'm not going to see Mom and Dad one day. I'd hate to think I'm not going to see the Lord Jesus face to face. Old Paul said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But I don't want a boatload tonight unless he wants me. Neither do you. That's why you're here. God saved you so that you could serve. God saved you so that you could give. God saved you so that you could be a part of the church that sends the gospel around the world. That one day when you get to heaven, people will look and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. God help us. The judgment seat. They say that 4,500 churches closed last year, but 3,000 opened. That means we lost 1,500 churches. 1,500 churches. They say that 10 million people have quit Sunday school in the last 10 years, and they're claiming that this year they believe there will be 1.2 million people that'll quit Sunday school this year. That's awful. Quitters. I pray that God will help me to keep going until he takes me home. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to look at the Lord for eternity and have him look at me and say, you quitter. You quitter. You're a quitter. No, no, no. I want him to look at me and say, well, you stuck at it. You stuck at it. You didn't deserve it, but you did anyway. Let's just stick at it, Landmark. Let's just stick at it, okay? Let's just keep going. Let's just keep giving. Let's just keep tithing. Let's just keep taking care of the nursery. Let's keep on running the buses. Keep on ushering and serving the Lord. Keep on giving. God help us. The judgment seat of God. Over 1,500 churches that we'll never see again. But let me tell you something. Judgment should keep me laboring. I should keep serving the Lord. I should keep serving the Lord. Ah, look what he's done for me. He's blessed me. He's let me stay in the ministry. He's given me a family. He's taken care of me. He's let me be in the ministry almost 60 years. God's been good. Thank the Lord. There's no way we can quit. Look what he's going to do. He's going to give me a new body. He's going to give me eternal life. I'm going to rule with him. There's no way we can quit. We can't do it. We can all do more. Listen, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And he that lives by sight is an evil and adulterous generation. That means if you have to look in your wallet to see if you can give to missions or not, that means you're living by sight. That means if you give what you gave last year, you're living by sight because you're here today. So I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to do more than I did last year. Amen? Come on, talk to me now. Yeah, amen. Do more than you did last year. In Mark chapter 2, who's holding the rope? Who's holding the rope? I heard the preacher say 3 or 4 weeks ago, I happened to be in church, and the preacher made a statement that William Carey went to India, and he says, I'll go down into the pit, but you must hold the rope. In Mark chapter number 2, there were 4 men that took this poor guy with the palsy, and they took him to where Jesus was teaching in the house. And they got there and they couldn't get in because the crowd was so big. So they found a way that they could get up on the ladder. And they got up on the ladder. Supposing one of them had dropped her in. Supposing two of them said, he's just too heavy. And they dropped her in. But you know what they did? They held on. And they let him down. And Jesus said, go and sin no more. Oh, listen to me. The Lord Jesus, in Acts chapter number 9, verse 25, there was a drama that took place. It was in Damascus. And Paul had just got saved and was preaching. And what happened? The Jews were trying to kill him. So the disciples took him out. Took him to the roof and over to the wall, and they let him down, and he escaped, and you're here today. Supposing some of the disciples had dropped the rope. Supposing they had dropped the rope. Where would we be? Folks, we got to hold the rope. We got to hold the rope for these missionaries that come. We've got to do our best to hang on. Oh, it may get tough, it may get rough, but praise God, we still got to hold on. We'll hold on. Reeve Evans, a preacher, he said, I'm going to take my funeral message. He was 75 years old. He taped his funeral message, and at 80, he passed away. At the funeral, they played the tape that he had made of his funeral message. At the last, it says to his family, I'll meet you again. But you know what? I got to thinking about it. Did you know you're taping your life today? You're taping your funeral? Did you know you're taping your funeral? You're taping your funeral? You're taping your funeral? You're taping your funeral? You're taping it. What about that faith promise? It's being taped. God's got a record. God's got a record. God's got a record. And he's taping. And the only thing that lasts is what you do for him. What you do for him. We've got to hold the rope. We've got to hold the rope. Let's bow our heads, everyone standing, musicians coming. No one looking around. God spoke to your heart about something. If you need to pray about something, you step out and come. It may encourage a lost person to come. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, I want you to be my friend and pray for me. I want you to pray for me. If I were to die in my sleep tonight, I'm not sure I would go to heaven, and I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is not to embarrass you. I won't call you by name. I won't come to you. I just want to pray for you. Is there one here who'd say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Anyone, anyone, raise your hand. Raise it up quickly, 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 quickly. Anyone? I see no hands. Several people have come to the altar. Is there any others who come? Any others? Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Any others? Maybe you need to pray about your faith promise. Maybe you need to pray about somebody, you know, that's dying and going to hell, and you haven't done your best. What about it? Would you come? God bless you. God bless you. Go ahead, brother.
Just as I
anyone else, quickly, 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 quickly. God bless you. God bless you. Others, others, step out. Step out. God bless you.
And that thou bidst me
come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.